Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week, and thank you so much for joining us every week as we continue our study in this series on revisiting the book of Revelation. Last week, if you were with us, we started to share some things with you from the book of Daniel, and we are going to continue to deal with some things from the book of Daniel and show you how, in fact, they are connected to the book of Revelation. We're going to show it to you in the context of the Scripture, in the context of the audience it's written to, and last week especially, we emphasized that when Daniel in chapter 2 was giving the king of Babylon the interpretation to the dream that he had, he was telling the king what would happen in the latter or the last days. And then he tells him the digression of the kingdoms. He says, you, king of Babylon, are the head of gold. After you is going to arise another. It would be Darius the Mede under the Medes and the Persians. And then after that would be Alexander the Great and the Greeks. And then the fourth kingdom that would come on the scene would be Rome. It would be part of iron and part of clay, and they would not cleave together. But in the days of those final 10 kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. And we showed you how the digression of that unfolded historically. Daniel is declaring what would happen in the future. And just consecutively, like Daniel interpreted the dream of the king, it came to pass, including the fact that during the days of those final 10 kings of Rome, Jesus comes on the scene, John the Baptist comes on the scene and says, repent, the kingdom is at hand. And if you remember in Daniel 2, he said, in the days of those final 10 kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. And the rock cut out of the mountains was the rock that Peter said the stone the builders rejected has now become head of the corner, and that the kingdom of God would begin and increase and increase and increase. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now we pick up the story for this segment and Daniel chapter 9, and now the king of Babylon has been moved off the scene, and it starts out in Daniel chapter 9 with the Medo-Persian king. In verse number 1, it says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the offspring of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books the number of years which according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the desolations which had been pronounced on Jerusalem should end, and it was 70 years. Daniel is studying to find out how long before there would be a decree that would reverse some of their captivity from Babylon, and he reads in the book of Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11, also in chapter 12, that's Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12, and then Jeremiah 29, verse 10, that Jeremiah tells them they would be in captivity for 70 years. Now, he's in this time now that Darius is now the Mede or the Persians are ruling, and Daniel says, I set my face, verse 3, to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God who keeps covenant, mercy and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and dealt perversely and done wickedly and have rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Neither have we listened to and heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to confusion and shamefaces as it is to this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to all Israel, to those who are near and those who are far off, through all of the countries to which you have driven them because of the treacherous trespass which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belong confusion and shamefaced to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and loving kindness and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, even turn aside that they may not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse has been poured out on you, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And that's Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14. and through 45 in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. And if you remember, we're going to get into this as we get further, that the curses that are pronounced in Deuteronomy through Moses are finding their fulfillment in the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is not about something that's coming in the future. It's about God keeping His end of the covenant bargain to apostate Israel to bring upon them all the curses of the book of Deuteronomy. And we will take the curses given in Deuteronomy and show you how they're fulfilled in Revelation. And the nail in the proverbial coffin to me is when God tells Moses right before he's about to die, He said, after you die, Moses, these people are going to go whoring after other gods. So teach them this song and call it the Song of Moses, and teach it to them generation after generation after generation, so that when all of these evils befall them, they're going to know that it's because they've transgressed my law and not kept my commandments. When you get to Revelation 15, it says these are the last plagues. In them is filled up the wrath of God. They're the last plagues because it's the end of the old covenant bargain. And then it says this, and these are the last plagues, and in them is filled up the wrath of God, and they sang the song of Moses. So the curses that were coming upon them is not out in our future. It was God keeping His end of the covenant bargain, rather directly or indirectly, through the armies of the Roman Empire. All of the evils that were befalling them was coming as a result of them having sinned against God, and that all of this was coming on them is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we've sinned against Him. And so Daniel is praying in that manner. And he said, he carried out the intact, Daniel says, and he has carried out intact his threatening words, which he's threatened against us and against our judges, the kings, princes, and rulers generally who ruled us. And He has brought upon us a great evil, for under the whole heavens there has not been done before anything so dreadful as He has caused to be done against Jerusalem. Just as it was written in the law of Moses as to all this evil that would surely come upon transgressors, so it has come upon us. Yet we have not earnestly begged for forgiveness and entreated the favor of the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and have understanding and become wise in your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity evil and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is uncompromisingly righteous and rigidly just in all His works and which He does, keeping His word, and we have not obeyed His voice. And now, Lord our God, who brought your people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and secured yourself renown and a name as it is this day, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous justice, I beseech you, let your anger and your wrath be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach and a byword to all those who are round about us. Now, therefore, O God, listen to and heed the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplications, and for your own sake, cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look on our desolation in the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you for our own righteousness and justice, but for your great mercy and loving kindness. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, give heed and act. Do not delay for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for my holy hill of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in former vision, caused me to fly swiftly, came near and touched me at the time of the evening sacrifice, about the time Jesus would be crucified. It was the same time that Gabriel, I think I'm correct in saying that, was the time Gabriel would come and touch me about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me, made me understand. He talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your prayers, the word giving an answer went forth, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand this vision. Now, if I could get my team to pull up for me the chart with a timeline on, I'm going to show you how, to me, when I see Daniel give this prophecy so clearly and accurately, way before it ever happens, It really makes the Word of God so valid and effective to me. And I'm going to share this without any theories in consecutive order of how the Scripture is saying it, without twisting it and bringing out of its time slot or out of its audience. I'm going to show it to you on this, this screen. It says, 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish and put an end to transgressions, to seal up and make full measure of sin. Remember when Jesus told him in Matthew 23, fill up then the measure of your father's sin and the transgression, to purge away and make expiation and reconciliation for sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, permanent moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation, to seal up the vision and prophecy and prophet, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. Now, he's telling Daniel that 70 weeks of years are determined upon his people. The first thing I ask is, God, why 70 weeks of years? He said, because a man must forgive until 70 times 7. Remember when the man asked Jesus, how often should a man forgive? He said, until 70 times 7. But remember, if you go back to the last chapter, I believe it is, in the book of 2 Chronicles, it tells you that these people went into captivity. One of the reasons was because they did not keep Sabbath. So when you see, and when I think about keeping Sabbath, I'm not talking about a certain day of the week in the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, yes, it was that. In the New Covenant, the Sabbath is Jesus. He is the rest that we come to. But when they did not keep Sabbath, they were in captivity until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath, until 70 times seven, or 490 years are determined upon the people to put an end of transgression, to seal up, make vision, to make full measure of sin, and to purge, bring in everlasting righteousness. He said, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the coming of the Anointed One, a prince shall be 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years. It shall be built again with city, square, and moat, but in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks of years shall the Anointed One be cut off or killed, and shall have nothing and no one belonging and defending him. And the people of the other prince who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and even the end there shall be war, and desolations are decreed. That's in Matthew 24, verses 6 through 14, and Isaiah 53, 7 through 9, and Nahum chapter 1, verse 8. It says, and he shall enter into a strong and firm covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the offering to cease for the remaining 3.5 years. And upon the wing of pinnacle of abomination shall one come who makes desolate until the full end is determined and poured out on the desolator. Now, let me show you something that I think is very powerful. We're going to look at this. He said, 70 weeks of years are determined upon my people. And he says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Watch this. The commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Remember, Daniel is during the time of the Medo-Persian king, would come when they give the decree. Remember, Ezra and Nehemiah are working together with Daniel to bring them back from captivity out of Babylon and to restore their temple. And the king that gives the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem was King Artaxerxes. He gives the decree to restore and build Jerusalem in 457 B.C. The way I remember Artaxerxes is it could be pronounced like this, Artaxerxes. So that helps me remember his name. Artaxerxes gives the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem in Ezra, I believe it is, chapter 7. And he gives the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. And for the first 49 years, or 7 weeks of years, the wall would be built, but it would be built during troublesome time. That's this 49, that's this from 457 B.C., I'll try to be slow, to 408 B.C., is 49 years, and this is during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the city and the walls are built even in troublesome time. But then after that would come 62 more weeks of years until Messiah would come on the scene. Now, watch this. This whole scope, Daniel makes it a little bit hard to understand, but I'm putting it on the script so you can see that 49 years plus the 62 weeks of years. In other words, these are 70 weeks or 70 weeks of years are determined. It's 483 years. So it's 49 weeks of years, and 62 weeks of years equal 69 weeks of years, or 483 years. In other words, watch this. Artaxerxes gives the command in 457 B.C., and Daniel said, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, looking at all this gathered together, would be from the time the commandment went forth until a Messiah would come on the scene. This is what I love about how accurate the Scriptures are. Daniel is precise. He says, 70 weeks of years are determined. But after 69 weeks of years, or 483 years, from the time Artaxerxes gives the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, would be 483 years, and exactly AD 27, 483 years after King Artaxerxes gives the decree, exactly 483 years later, Jesus comes up out of the waters of baptism, and the King has now arrived, and the one who would make an end of sin, bring everlasting righteousness, and anoint the most holy place, and all the things that are prophetic. Jesus began his ministry, and his first public message was, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, the recovery of sight to the blind. And he began to say, this day, and to declare the year of the favor of our God. And he closes the book and he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. If you notice when he says that in Luke's gospel, to declare the year of the favor of God, he says that during the time of the Roman Empire. But the rest of the scripture in Isaiah that he's actually preaching from and quoting, the rest of the scripture says, and to announce the day of the vengeance of our God. But when Jesus begins his ministry and says, he sent me to preach favor, he's still giving favor to the Jews because he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In other words, he's going to give them an opportunity to come into this new covenant. He's offering them the kingdom. Repent, the kingdom is at heaven. Heaven is at hand. He's going to confirm the covenant with many, with the Jews only for 7 year period. And he's offering it to them and he's announcing the year of the favor of God in 27 AD. But when you get to the end of this prophetic time clock, it is now what Luke says, these are the days of vengeance that all things which were spoken might be fulfilled. But he's still giving them favor during this period of time. Now, if you look at this again, from 457 BC to Messiah is exactly 483 years. Jesus stands up, he's baptized, begins to preach the kingdom's at hand. He's doing that during the time of these Roman kings. After 3.5 years, in the middle of the week, Messiah would be cut off. But not for himself. In other words, the Messiah is cut off. The events that happen after 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, Jesus is cut off in the middle of that last 7 year period in the scope of this prophecy, so that after his death and his burial and his resurrection, there is only 3.5 years left of that opportunity to be exclusive to the house of Israel. But Daniel 12 says the power of the holy people were about to be broken, and it was their exclusive covenant with Yahweh, because God was about to go to a bigger audience and include both Jew and Gentile that would come into, and all of those that would be put on outer darkness, weeping and wailing, while others that were not invited to the feast come in from the highways, the byways, and the hedges. The Gentiles would be included in the covenants of promise. But he's giving them this whole 490-year period to repent. Now, when you see that the seven-year period is what most prophecy teachers hear, they put a parenthesis here. And they said that God is holding the rest of this seven-year period for somewhere out in the distant future. That's not biblical. There's no clause here for a seven-year future tribulation. So when Jesus begins to come on the scene, and right at the end of his ministry, he begins to prophesy, and he begins to prophesy about a great tribulation that would come. He's prophesying what would take place at the end of this 40-year period, because when Jesus comes on the scene and is crucified about A.D. 30, right before he's crucified, he gives the Olivet Discourse that we're studying here in Revelation. And he says, this generation will not pass until all these things come to pass that I told you. And all these things that are about to come to pass was the tribulation such as was not. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes that I showed you in prior segments are all being fulfilled as he opens the seals of the book in Revelation chapters 5, 6, and 7. And he's also offering the sealing of the 144,000 elect Jews, or the first fruit from among Israel that actually believed his ministry. I hope I'm making sense to you here. But what's happening is that when Messiah was cut off, right before he is crucified, he prophesies and says, this generation won't pass. He gave that prophecy in 30 AD, and it came to pass in AD 70, 40 years, a generation. And that's the people in 1 Corinthians 10 that he says, you are the people upon whom the ends, plural, of the ages have now come. It was the back end of the old covenant age, the front end of the new covenant age, and this 40-year transition from here to here is an exact replica of the Exodus in the Old Testament. And the whole New Testament is full of this Exodus paradigm, including the fact that Jesus would eat the Passover the night before his decease, indicating that another Exodus is afoot. But this time, the Exodus is out of Jerusalem and out of Old Covenant Judaism. And I shared that with you in prior segments, how Revelation 11 said our Lord was crucified in the city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Our Lord was not crucified in Sodom or Egypt. Our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit is pointing at that, saying, what you thought was Egypt is not Egypt. The bondage I'm delivering you from is the city where our Lord was crucified, Jerusalem, the centerpiece of Old Covenant. He's delivering them from being slaves and servants to try to bring them into sonship and then the kingdom of God. And the New Testament is written from that time that Jesus gives this prophecy until 70 AD. There's a 40-year transition period that take place. Now, when Jesus prophesied that there would be a tribulation such as was not, his prophecy was in the future. But his prophecy is based on Habakkuk chapter number 2. And let me see if I can get this for you. Habakkuk, if you want to say it that way, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says, for the vision is yet for appointed time, and it hastens to the end fulfillment. It will not be deceived nor disappointed, though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come, and it will not be behind on its appointed day. I'm reading that to you from the Amplified Bible. But you see that he said that this time of fulfillment would be, though it weary, though the vision tarry, wait for it will surely come. But if you go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse number 7, let me go ahead and get this for you. Hebrews 10, and verse number 37, I'm going to get this to you from the New King James Version here, switch it over. Hebrews 10, verse 37. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry, but the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul shall take no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10, 37 is a direct quote from Habakkuk chapter 2. Though the vision tarry, wait for it will come, it will speak. But here we have in Hebrews, Hebrews is written around 64 to 66, 67 AD, towards the final end of the scope of this prophecy. And he's saying, for yet a little while, and not it, but he who will come and will not tarry. And then he says, the just will live by faith. That's also a quote that's used in the book of Romans. The just will live by faith. He's announcing the new covenant that comes through the Messiah and comes through faith in him. Though it tarry, wait for it, it will surely come. But when Jesus prophesies that, then he's talking about a tribulation that will come during this period of time and in the final days of this. Now, let me also read this to you from the book of Daniel chapter number 12, because that's the back end of this book, the book I call Bookends. Let me get you Daniel here. Hallelujah. Daniel, the 12th chapter. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. At that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and shall increase. Now remember, I told you the book of Revelation, he tells Daniel here, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Because he tells Daniel here in verse 4, let me calm down. I may just make this run, this program may run over into the next one because I want to stay with the flow that I'm in. Daniel 12, verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. So he's telling Daniel, here's the prophecy, and it's for the time of the end. So seal it up. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. When you get to the book of Revelation, he tells John not to seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. For Daniel, he was prophesying of what would come in the end, and John is telling you it is the end, and this book is not sealed any longer, that these judgments are about to come upon the people. And he's specific about who this delivered to at the time your people will be delivered, everyone who's not written in the book. And he says, but then many will sleep in the dust and shall rise, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt. But he says, Daniel, shut up the words, and till the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will this be till the fulfillment of these things? And he says to him, then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. He held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered. All these things shall be finished. That time and half a time, that 3.5 years, he'll talk about 1,290 days in a short period of time, is the 42-month siege from the time that they sieged Jerusalem in A.D. 66 until the destruction of the temple would be 42 months times times and a half of times. All of that are the same time periods that you see in the book of Revelation when he's talking about these plagues and trumpets and vials and plagues would be 42 months times times and a half of times. And all of that stuff would occur within that period during the time of the Romans, and you see that even in Revelation chapter 11, when the Gentiles siege the city for 42 months. Now, that's the end of this segment, basically, but I'm going to keep talking, and we can pick this up for the next.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically-based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.